Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. It is the day after the latest wild card round win, and it might be an omen for what we're coming into. We're going to take a look, break down who played what, who produced that we didn't quite catch the first time, dig in deeper, get ready for what this means and how we take it forward towards the Buffalo Bills. Welcome to Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Thank you, everyone, for making us your first listen. I am back from the land of the desert sun, and things have honestly just started to look a little bit rosier. We're going to go through where they are, what we take away from this, and what it means in terms of the first pin that needs to fall in their road to the next Super Bowl. Chris, how are you feeling today after a late night session for our last show?
Feeling pretty good about the game. Personally, not feeling great, but we'll see how that goes. I will try to mute my mic if I think I'm going to cough, so I apologize ahead of time for anybody out there. What I will say, though, is this team looked like they were slow to get started. They didn't look like they were in sync early on in the first quarter and even partially into the second quarter. But then you look at what Patrick Mahomes did. He threw 5 touchdown passes in game time of just under 11 minutes. That is phenomenal. That goes back to what we saw a lot like what we saw in the Houston Texans game a couple of years ago. So I think that this is going to be something to watch going forward.
Yeah, I agree. It is that slow start that can be frustrating. Clearly, it revved them up, and it showed the potential of what it is when they step on the gas. It's scary for the other teams. It's also a little bit nerve-wracking for Chiefs Kingdom as well, because can you just come out and do it? We've seen them be really great in the first 15 script all season long until the last couple of weeks. And so I understand those that are saying, if they get up to that slow start, the Bills are not going to deal with that. If they'd done that last week against the Bills, they probably would have lost. I don't necessarily agree with that being the outcome, but it's definitely something to be concerned about.
Yeah, and you have to also look at this Bills game and realize that while they are going up against the Buffalo Bills for the second time this year, and the Bills beat them soundly the first time around, they didn't have Chris Jones. They didn't have a healthy Frank Clark. Willie Gay was playing, I believe he was playing in this game, but he was barely getting ready to go. And Nick Bolton wasn't where he is right now. I think that makes a huge difference. And they didn't have Melvin Ingram either. So there's lots of changes for this Chiefs team.
And I think you see that what we saw against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You saw Bolton play a ton of snaps, outsnapping both Anthony Hitchens and Willie Gay Jr., who only played 17 snaps, by the way. And I think that has a direct impact on this next game. We'll talk about that later coming up. But we've seen the front four also turn into a little bit more of their playoff selves, like we've seen the last couple of seasons. And I think that's not only going to be key towards getting that pass rush against Josh Allen in this coming week, just like they did against Ben Roethlisberger in this past week. The only difference is the mobility aspect. And I thought I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. The Steelers concentrated on getting the ball out early enough that it didn't become a problem. I don't think that's necessarily something you can count on against the Bills.
I definitely don't think that's something that you can count on against the Bills. I think the Bills are going to try to push the ball downfield. I think they're going to be on attack at all times. And you look at, I had some people tell me that Chris Jones didn't play well this past game. Yeah, he didn't get a sack. Okay, I don't really care about sacks. It's not about sacks. It's about pressures. It's about how many offensive linemen he's taking on a given play that opens up everything around him. That's what you really have to look at. Chris Jones had his impact on this game because he was being double and triple teamed most of the time he was in the game. And you saw the Steelers offensive line specifically stunting towards him to make sure they took care of him at times. He definitely had an impact on this game. He's going to have an impact against this Bills team. But the key to me, though, looking at this game against the Steelers, is it's really hard to say that the Bills are going to have as much trouble as the Steelers. I understand that. But the Steelers also got the ball out in under 2 seconds. That's going to be a completely different story going into this game, and it's going to be something to watch. But it's also going to be something that the Bills are going to have to worry about because the Chiefs' pass rush will get home if they hold on the ball too long.
Well, I'll tell you this. Everybody's a little bit rested as well because Juan Thornhill is the only guy who played all the snaps at 67. What you saw from the front was very, very interesting to me. Only 42 for Frank Clark. You only got 35 for Chris Jones. And even Melvin Ingram, you get the sense that at 37, that's right about perfect for him. Nice rotation, didn't get too worn out. Clearly, they had the game in hand. And if it doesn't go that way, then you don't get to rest those guys. Now, would I still have preferred a week off? Yes. But absolutely. I think that tells you that you've gotten the best of both worlds. You've gotten a little bit of warm-up in playing a ball game, and you haven't worn them all the way down by having to have them play 80% of the snaps or something like that. So I think that's pretty good situation for the Chiefs front to be in against Josh Allen, who you have to do a bit of both. You're going to have to chase him around a little bit because he will escape the pocket, but you're also going to have an opportunity if you can all collapse the pocket together to get to Josh Allen.
And you got to hit him. And I'm not trying to be dirty about it, but you have to hit him, and you have to hit him hard, and you have to make him pay for running the ball. If they call design QB runs, you have to hit him, and you have to hit him hard. That's all it comes down to. I really have never understood teams that want to run their quarterbacks, especially a guy like Josh Allen. I know he's nimble enough. I know he is athletic enough to do it, and it adds an element to the game that makes it very hard to defend. But I just think that they're going to limit his availability, 10 years down the road. And I know that's not what they're looking about right now, but I wouldn't want to run my quarterback that I'm paying, $30 or $40 million a year to.
Yeah, I can't say that I would even consider it, to tell you the truth, because you're right. You got to make the quarterback pay. If you want to get paid, good way to do is with Bet Online. You can make your New Year's betting come to life, and you can make them pay. All you got to do is check out betonline.ag. It remains the number one spot for all of your sports action and all your wagering in 2022. It's a new year with a new desktop and a new website. All you got to do is check it out, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus if you do when you use our code LOCKEDON at sign up. You can bet any sport that you like. Obviously, the height of the football playoffs is a good time to get in on the action, get it all on the line that you're looking for. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline, it's where that game starts. I want to shout somebody out who I don't feel is getting enough credit the day after. And, maybe it's the day after thing, but I think the way that you saw Cam Hayward like flopping on bodies and trying to really, even in the futility of a given play, put some physical damage on guys. I think the fact that Creed Humphrey handled that front, made those calls, and you have to give it to him in terms of like, yes, Allegretti got a touchdown. Yes, Andrew Wiley persevered through the onslaught that is TJ Watt. Creed Humphrey did, I think, the best job on that offensive line last night.
PFF agrees with you. He had the highest grade of any Chief in that game. And that probably is something that you could say in just about every game this year, because he has played that well all season long. And Kansas City got the steal of the draft. I'm just going to say that right now at the 63rd pick. That was a phenomenal choice by Veach. And you start looking at going forward, you still have Trey Smith to talk about. I think he played very well at times. Mm-hmm. But with Creed Humphrey calling the plays or calling the line calls and taking – control of that offensive line. There were times, and this is the thing that people want to point out. Did the Steelers get pressure? Yes, they got pressure. Highsmith was able to get around Brown. TJ Watt got around Wiley multiple times. I'm not going to say pressure didn't happen, but look at the Buffalo Bills' pressure rate versus the Steelers' pressure rate, or the Bills' sack rate versus the Steelers' sack rate. They're not comparable. It's going to be a completely different ballgame when you're going into that game. Now, would I prefer to have Niang there as opposed to Wiley? Yeah, absolutely. But guess what? That's not going to be a possibility. Rimmers is more than likely not coming back this year. Wiley has played very well for what you would expect him to be able to do.
Yeah, I think you have to be very happy with where that situation is. There are certain things that are disadvantages, and the speed rush is one of them for both tackles. That's just going to be the way of it, and that is okay. Because I tweeted out the other day about the Pro Bowl voting, right? And Creed, rookie, tied with Chris Jones as the leading vote getters in the All-Pro voting for this Kansas City Chiefs roster. I think that shows out. And for him to walk in here and be that kind of rookie, that's all they could have asked for in this revamped offensive line project that they knew would be coming into play right now as we hit our stride in the playoffs.
And I want to throw this out there, too, because I think it's very important to realize Kansas City is probably going to struggle at offensive tackle when it comes to speed rushers. Just if they keep Orlando Brown next year and going forward, that's probably just going to be the case. He's going to struggle with that. That's not the best use of his skill set. He's not going to be the best against speed rushers. There's things he can work on, and I think he'll get better. Andrew Wiley is another story. He is looked at to be a backup. You were hoping Niang was going to be there. But what I want to throw out there is there are ways for the QB to work around that when he knows that the team is going to be struggling. It is almost impossible for a QB to work around interior pressure. And Mahomes hasn't been getting interior pressure. That's why he's able to do the things he can do. And yes, he's taken sacks. Yes, he's taken a couple hits. But he knows that the pressure is coming from the outside. He has a pocket that now that he feels comfortable stepping up in. And he can even run at times, through the different lanes. So I think that's a huge key from a difference from last year is that he knows where the pressure is going to be coming from more than likely, especially with the matchups, and it's not usually inside.
And identifying that pressure allows him to go where he needs to go with the ball. This was not a game that we've seen lately. Down the stretch, the tail third of the season, in the regular season for this team, you saw Travis Kelce get 13 targets one game. You saw Tyreek Hill have a 10-plus target. In this game, Travis Kelce, Byron Pringle, 7 targets. They were the leading targeted pass catchers in this ballgame, followed by Jerick McKinnon. And it's not just that Jerick McKinnon had a stellar game. We talked about that last night. It's about the fact that you're now integrating the running back nearly to the level of your primary pass catchers and spreading that out. Then you had Tyreek Hill at 5, DeMarcus at 5, Hardman at 4. That, like, 5-pronged attack is something that should be very scary for not just the Pittsburgh Steelers, but the Buffalo Bills as well.
No, absolutely. And I think you also look at it and you look at the first quarter and the second quarter, the first part of the second quarter, what didn't happen in those quarters? They didn't get the ball to Tyreek Hill. They didn't get the ball to Travis Kelce. That didn't happen in the first quarter, I don't think at all. I mean, maybe one of them was targeted, but they didn't catch the ball. So when you don't get your two playmakers involved in the offense early, you're going to struggle. I understand what they were trying to do, and I understand why they moved the ball around as much as they did, but it wasn't working. And as soon as they started getting Kelce and Hill involved, then you open things up for Pringle. Then you open things up for McKinnon. Then you open things up for even DeMarcus Robinson, who still likes to torment us by holding the ball like a loaf of bread.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing Dave Tobe is having quite a conversation today. and not to be outdone, Magic Mike Burton came in and got 3 yards on one carry and got the job done. I just want to point that out one more time.
It was a great move for him to be able to get a first down in that situation. I know people think it means nothing, but he made a great move just to be able to get his body contorted enough to get around the defender there. So it was a great play.
Yeah, and earn yourself more playing time and more looks in these coming games. You can get more looks at the things that's probably most complicated in your life because people think unusual circumstances mean complicated taxes, but TurboTax Live has experts and they're here to make the interesting things less interesting for you. Maybe all you intend to do is to inherit a condo or get something onto your tax life. It's an interesting place where you can get a greater refund and you need some help to do it. Luckily, TurboTax Live can match you with the right person, right expert in your area or around the world that can take care of your tax questions right from the phone or computer. They can take care of it, the whole filing process for you all at once. Whether you're launched from your own startup or you're doing multiple jobs like Chris and I do, juggling multiple incomes, there's a TurboTax expert that can be there for you to help you through. All you got to do is visit TurboTax.com and learn more. Do your thing. They've got your taxes. Intuit TurboTax Live. Live is something that we need to get to for this Buffalo game because the opposing quarterback this week is not a statue. He is live. His run game is live, and they have to be careful with this. What did you take away from Willie Gay's lack of snaps at 17 in this ballgame?
Well, my first takeaway from that is that Nick Bolton is taken over as the best linebacker, according to the Chiefs. They feel like he's the best linebacker they have because they played him the most. I do think situational football matters. I do think that that's something that you have to watch. But I also think that Bolton being where he is a great thing for this team because he's a rookie. He's only going to get better. And you know that Willie Gay is going to step into Hitchens' shoes next year. Hitchens is a captain. He's going to play. I still wonder if they're going to use Gay more in this game. I think they could use him as a spy for Josh Allen. I think that that's something that they may look at. That's not something you need against Roethlisberger. You kind of talked about that, and I completely agree with you on that. but it is something you need against Josh Allen. And if there's anybody that I would love to be going after Josh Allen on a regular basis and spying him, it would be Willie Gay, because I think he has the speed to chase him down anywhere.
Yeah, and that's how I took it as the overriding factor. I think that they're very happy, and Nick is the best middle linebacker they have now. I wouldn't call him the best overall. I'm not sure they would either. It felt like they were resting Willie for the Josh Allen pursuit, I will call it with air quotes, because once they got comfortable in that ball game, that's where it felt like they sat Willie and just took it easy on him. Because quite frankly, as good as Nick Bolton's been and as experienced as Anthony Hitchens are, if there's one guy on the field that has to be able to help control Allen, it's got to be Willie Gay. He's the only one can do it the linebacker position.
Can't argue with you there. I think that that's going to be something that they're going to have to watch. I do wonder, when you watch what Buffalo's been able to do on offense, one thing that they've changed since early in the season is Singletary wasn't playing very well. Moss wasn't playing very well. They didn't run the ball very well. Now they have the ability to do that, so that's going to change how you're going to be able to defend them, and it's also going to change what Josh Allen is going to be doing with his legs, because I don't think he's going to carry it near as much as he did the last time, unless it's not a designed run. If he's scrambling, that's a whole different ballgame, and we know all that. But yeah, I think when you start looking at how this team is going to attack this Bills team, I think the bigger question that we have to answer is, how are the corners going to play out? How are the, how are the safeties going to play out? Because if you can get to where you're able to cover their guys for 3 or 4 seconds on a regular basis, and I think that the corners have shown that they can do that with a lot of good pass catchers, then you're going to have a chance to get to Josh Allen. And if you get a chance to get to Josh Allen early, you fluster him, because Kansas City has done that over and over and over again. Not this year, but they have in years past.
Yeah, you're right. And the half.
But Chris Jones didn't play earlier in this year. Sorry, I just want to throw that.
It changes the delivery of the ball, you're right. But the volume of where they're going with the ball on the other side is also important. Like you said, you have to be able to cover those guys. They still have Stephon Diggs. That's a tall order on the outside. The guy that I think is the most intriguing, because he got some healthy yardage in the run game, he got some healthy yardage in the pass game, and that's Isaiah McKenzie. That's going to be stuff that especially when it lines up at the slot, you're going to have Legarius on him. You have to feel pretty good about that. But what about when they motion him in the backfield, or they line him up in the big backfield to begin with?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup. And I think, you can probably afford to double Diggs, and I think that's probably what they will do. But then you have to be able to go and stop Cole Beasley. You have to be able to stop Isaiah McKenzie. You have to be able to stop, Emmanuel Sanders. They have good weapons in Buffalo, so that's not an issue that they're going to have. They're always going to have two or three guys that they can run at you. And that doesn't count their tight end, Dawson Knox, who was playing even better than he was earlier this season. So they have weapons galore in Buffalo. The question is are you going to have Josh Allen have time to be able to get the ball to those weapons? If you give him the time to get the ball, he's going to deliver it and they're going to score points. That's the way their offense works. If you can get pressure with four, that gives you so much more of an advantage and the ability to cover the back end that I think is huge in this game.
We'll go over this more later in the week, folks. I think Dawson Knox is the key to this offense and stopping it.
Interesting. I see it, because he has opened up so many different things for them that they didn't have the ability to do before. So I do think that is a great point. I'm really curious to see, and I'm not arguing with you about Dawson Knox, but I also think that the emergence of Singletary and Moss at times is also opening up this offense and giving them the ability to do many more things than they were able to do before. Because if they're going to pass all the time, and that's kind of how Kansas City's offense is a lot of the time, then you can sit back and you can play the pass, that's coming. But the second you're able to start running the ball, which the Bills are starting to be able to do, that changes the way you have to defend them. And you start putting more people in the box, and then they're going to be able to throw over the top. So it changes everything.
And Singletary was a 5 yard a carry guy this last week. That's significant.
Yeah, it's absolutely significant. And he wasn't playing well early in the season. So,
and I think rolling it back towards Willie Gay, I thought Willie performed well, not only on the sideline to sideline things. He made a couple of plays there. I thought he looked good on the blitz as well. And I think they have to use him for that, particularly against the run. In run situations, you got to send a linebacker. And I think that they've been so prevalent in sending corners on blitzes in the pass game that it has the ability to kind of throw off and throw out of gear what the offense is expecting.
You know, the thing that really is going to interest me in this game going in is what is Spags going to do? Because this really comes down to what has he got his little bag of tricks for this Buffalo game? Because you know, every single time he's played Josh Allen in the past, it's been a little bit different. This past time, he didn't have Chris Jones. He didn't have his normal weapons. He didn't have Melvin Ingram, and Jones was playing outside, and Frank Clark wasn't healthy. Willie Gay was just coming back from injury. Nick Bolton wasn't really playing much. Daniel Sorensen, I think, was still starting. I mean, it's really hard to go back and look at that game and say that it has a lot of bearing on how this game is going to play out, because both teams have changed so much since that game in week five.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And now for Juan Thornhill to be the guy that is always in the game, I mean, even more so than Matthew, I think that says something. And it changes what Josh Allen – yes, he can watch the film. I mean, the change was made not a whole lot after they played the Bills. So not on the field with him, though. And I think that's probably the bigger difference. That said, I do just want to say that according to PFF, and again, grades are subjective in some ways, but Willie Gay was the best player on the defense on the field last night. Again, that takes me back to you got to use Willie as the weapon that he is in all kinds of different facets.
Yeah, and where was Chavarius Ward?
Number three, according to PFF in their grading system.
Yeah. He had a great game.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there.
And he's going to have another one. Hate to tell you.
No, he absolutely does. No, and I understand that. And he absolutely has to play a great game. The nice thing for Ward, the nice thing for this defense right now is Ward is playing for a payday. This game could get him a huge payday. And I would love to see it in Kansas City because I think he's played well. I think he's gotten better. But it's going to be very hard to pay him the type of money I think that he's going to command if he continues to play well in the playoffs, because everybody's watching right now. And corners are such a hard market.
And just to quote our old friend, now listen.
Exactly.
Undefeated.
Absolutely undefeated.
So ride it to the bank, folks. Let us know what you think. How do you feel about this ball game? We're going to preview it tomorrow with Matt. Chris will be back on Thursday with more inside intel. Then we will lay it all on the line for you on Friday. What else you got?
Nothing. I was just going to say the only guy that the contract year didn't work for lately is Josh Gordon. But I will throw this out there. Thank you to Josh Gordon, because if you look at what the Chiefs wide receivers have done this year, he may not have stepped up. Byron Pringle did step up. DeMarcus Robinson has stepped up at times. You were seeing the emergence of guys that were under Josh Gordon because they saw that they were losing playing time. And I think that lit a little bit of a fire. And I really like what I've seen from Pringle so far this year. So I really hope that they bring him back, even if it's not. I'm not saying he needs to be the number two, but I think he could be a really good number three.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he needs to be on the roster. I think it's something that they are capable of getting done. So,
yep.
Folks, let us know what you think. Do you want Byron Pringle back? Leave us some thoughts in the YouTube comments, in the iTunes reviews, wherever you can. Like, sub, and hit the bell on YouTube. We're going to be back tomorrow with Matt. We'll have more in-depth from him from inside the building as well. Thoughts on Andy Reid's comments as we get ready for the Buffalo Bills. This is fixing to be a barn burner. I'm looking forward to it. And we thank you for spending your time with us, making us your first listen. And we will be back.